Welcome to the Money Insights Podcast, where high income earners come to learn wealth building strategies that will take them from high income to high net worth. With your hosts, financial and wealth building experts, Christian Allen and Rod Zabriskie.
Welcome into today's episode of the Money Insights Podcast. My name's Christian Allen. I'm here with my co-host, Rod the Pod Zabriskie. Rod, what's going on, man?
Hey, I am doing great.
Are you ready to talk about how to build massive wealth through strategic networking?
I am ready. Never been more ready than I am right
for
now.
For anything in your entire life? Well, I'm glad, because that's what we're talking about today. Rod, so I've been thinking about this topic for a little while. Like, we hit on this topic as we go through some of our other pods. We'll talk about like the value of networking, the value of partnerships, the value of like camaraderie and working with other people. But I've been thinking about this because it's just so drastic, the difference that community makes when it comes to wealth building. And if for no other reason than mindset, right? Okay. So when I think about people who are actively like a force when it comes to building wealth, they're almost always people that I think of who are actively part of either a community or many communities, right?
Yeah.
So, and we're fortunate to be a part of a whole bunch of really, you know, unique wealth building communities where people do some incredible things. But again, one of the like, for us to get into this world, like it basically opened up my eyes, because previous to this world, like getting into these kind of groups who were really prolific about wealth building, and especially in the alternative space, right? But previous to that, I was dealing with people who were just trying to put away money in their IRAs and 401ks and get by, right? Mm-hmm, and so It was this really unique and interesting thing to see, like, hey, there's this entire world of people who aren't just kind of settling for the traditional, normal, everyday stuff. Like, they've decided they want to build and do more. And that's what community does, right? The networking element is such a big part of it, because people simply catch the fever. You catch the wealth building fever. And that's like as important as anything else.
Well, when I have these conversations with people who are in those communities, and they'll say stuff like, well, man, you know, back at home or when I'm hanging out with family or my buddies, there just aren't people who are interested in this kind of stuff the way I am. And so it almost like they feel like they're weird, but then they get involved in these communities and they're like, man, there are other people out there who are like me.
Okay. Yeah, that reminds me. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That reminds me, Red. When I was young, I remember my parents were pretty hush hush with money. You know, they were what's the word I'm looking for? Private, I guess.
Yeah.
They really kept that kind of stuff to themselves. That's kind of the way we were taught. Like, money wasn't like, it wasn't that we avoided the topic of money and like, you know, what to do and basic stuff, but it wasn't like about creating money, building wealth. That wasn't like a topic of conversation that was typical in my world. And to your point, I think that kind of older generation tended to be similar to my parents, where it was like, keep it on the down low. But the problem with that, Rod, is that, well, there's a lot of problems with, we're going to get into it. You're missing out on all of the benefits that come with community and networking and the value that comes from that. And again, the momentum that you can get just by working with a group of people and sharing a similar vision. Okay. Yeah. So today, well, go ahead.
Can I just throw one thing on that? And I think what you're pointing out is that that's probably unfortunate, again, from a few different angles. But what I was thinking of is, those are the people that maybe matter most as it relates to your, not only ability to build wealth, but to create a culture, to pass on wealth and have it be a benefit to your kids. Whereas we hear so many people who say, well, I don't want to give my kids anything. I don't want to ruin them or whatever, right? And I guess what I'm saying is, it doesn't have to ruin them. If we can take some of these principles and apply them in a family setting. Again, it may not mean that everybody all of a sudden gets super excited about the things that you're excited about, because you live this, you have a passion behind, you know, building wealth. But if we can at least share what we're doing, share thoughts, kind of spread the fever, so to speak, among family, then that could be beneficial.
Okay. So a couple of thoughts that are coming to my mind here. One is almost all the people that I've found that I know who are ultra successful and ultra wealthy are actively part of, like, oftentimes a lot of communities, and they're oftentimes working with other people who have similar goals and objectives.
Yeah.
And are at a similar place in their lives, right? But number two, Rod, it's also personal experience. Like, my own wealth, more than any other, probably more than anything else, has been impacted by relationships and networking, partnerships, right? Things yep. that allowed us to take our business to the next level and therefore create more money, income, revenue that we can then go and invest and do more with. So it's like it's deeper than just that surface level stuff, because if you're somebody that owns a business, or if you're somebody that invests in real estate as a business, like, it's giving you a unique opportunity to access things you wouldn't have access to otherwise. And of course, by doing that, creating wealth that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. Okay. Yep. So here's what I want to do. I want to first talk about some of the benefits that come with networking, and just like the why, like, what are the reasons? And we'll probably get a little deeper than surface level on some of these things, but let's just jump into them. The first one I think about is access to opportunities. We've hit on this at least at a high level, but talk about, Rod, your experience, like, and seeing this firsthand, because obviously, again, we're part of these communities. What have you seen when it comes to people finding access to opportunities that they wouldn't probably find otherwise?
Yeah, well, to begin with, we know what we know. And a lot of times we know that there are a lot of things we don't know. We just don't know how to find it.
And we know that there are things out there. We know we don't just know we don't know them. A lot of times we know that they're there.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, I'll give an example. How common is it for us, Rod, to talk to somebody on the phone who's like, I want to get into the alternative space. I really believe it. I've done some studying. I understand that can really play an important part in my financial life.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just not sure where to start. Like, how do I even get involved? And I've been investing my whole life in the stock market, and now I'm supposed to go to, like, real estate or something like that. I don't even know where to go.
Yeah. And if you go to Google, you get inundated with all kinds of, probably initially, like, marketing opportunities, ways for you to spend $5,000, $15,000, $25,000 to get into the program.
To learn. Yep.
And that, can opportunities come through things like that? Well, of course. But what we're talking about is very different. It's actually getting connected with people who have done what you're wanting to do, know things, know resources, know opportunities that they're willing to share, you know, pitch in on together or whatever. And so it is a very different level for sure.
And what's nice today is that there's a lot of ways to get involved with it. Like, obviously we have this online world that's just, like, changed the dynamics around mm-hmm. being able to get knowledge and involvement with people and communities. So we're going to get into that. But I think that first one's critical. Access to opportunities. People, in order to invest, I have to know where to invest. I have to know what to invest in. And again, we talk about this all the time. That's why people put their money in the IRAs, 401ks, and the stock market, because that's just, again, what they know. It's mm-hmm. what's comfortable. Mm-hmm. So then the question is, how do I change that up? The best way to change it up is to get around people who are doing things that are like what you want to do. So again, if I want to be someone that invests in real estate, the best thing I can do is get involved with people who know real estate. Yeah, and absolutely. To your point, that could be some sort of a paid situation where, you know, I'm paying 10, like, that could be a valuable proposition. But what's really cool is there's a lot of places you can go today that have that aren't going to cost a thing, other than it's going to cost you time, energy, effort, because mm-hmm. you have to invest your person into it.
Yep.
So a little bit different. Okay. So the first one is access to opportunities. That's critical. We can't build wealth if we don't have the right opportunities. The next one, Rod, that I think about is knowledge. And again, we've hit on this, but just talk about what comes to your mind when I'm saying, hey, if you get involved with XYZ group, you're suddenly going to have knowledge, expertise that you just didn't have otherwise.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about people that we know who knew they wanted to learn some things. They decided to go attend, say, a conference, right? In person, right? Not as common today is maybe like webinars and things like that. But they went and they showed up and they met people. The starting point was to learn, right? They picked the particular conference because they wanted to focus on, again, if we're sticking with real estate, there was this particular short-term rentals or long-term rentals or whatever, right? So they picked that category, went to the conference, learned a lot there, and knew that everybody else around them was learning similar principles. So you get talking to people. And so that's where the kind of this networking piece of it comes into play, where you said knowledge sharing, right? Gaining knowledge, but then commingling with other people who know what they know, can help you learn, can work together, et cetera. And so, you know, it's learning, okay, well, great. So now I know more knowledge and I know more people that I can tie in with in doing that.
You know, one of the things that's really nice is that we live in this crazy content-driven world. Yeah. And what that means is that if you have a community, you're likely putting content out into the world, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or whatever. Like, you're likely putting content out there. And most often, that's educational content that anybody can consume, because usually people aren't putting out, you know, content that you have to pay for as that initial, like, hey, come be involved. So what's really nice here, Rod, is just that while I can go and I can pay 20 grand to like get involved with a really defined course, it's just as easy to find many different. I'm thinking about yesterday as an example, Rod. You did a webinar with passiveincome.com, right?
Passiveinvesting.com.
And those types of things are happening all the time. We do VIP webinars every few weeks, right? Yep. So like, it's really easy to get involved if you just start looking for them and are just trying to create an awareness, because literally every place, again, just like ours, we have partners like Adam Carroll. He's constantly putting out stuff. Buck's putting out stuff. Chris, like all of our partners, the people that we work with, put out stuff that you can go to and access without any cost. All it takes is a little bit of effort. And again, just getting access to that makes a huge difference, because it's knowledge, right? Like, and you know, I find this the same, like I have this, have had this same issue that I'm talking about where I want to go do some different things, but oftentimes there is a barrier and the barrier is knowledge. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I've realized over time is that oftentimes that barrier doesn't mean that I've got to go get all the knowledge. I just got to go find somebody who already has it.
Yeah.
Right. Or find a community of people that already have it. And suddenly I get this value, like I get all of the value that comes with it. So again, when we're talking about networking and being part of communities and partnerships as a way to grow our wealth, it's super important, if for no other reason than you're getting knowledge that you don't have.
Yeah, exactly. And I used an example of doing it in person. And obviously, it's easier to have that interaction when you're in person. But we've also been involved with groups that have done these types of things, webinars and whatnot. And then inside of that time, they'll actually do breakouts. And so you go into, like, even in Zoom, they have the ability to break off into different rooms and have more personal interaction with people. And I think that's huge as well, because it doesn't have to be that you leave and go somewhere physically necessarily to get that as well.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't. I mean, think about it, right? Like, there's a lot of the communities don't do stuff in person at all. And it's all based on this. Like, maybe it's a group of 10 people who all get together on Zoom, and you can still have really build quality relationships. Rod, we have great relationships with clients all over the country that we've never met. Like, what a crazy time that we live in, to where it's easier than ever before to create partnerships, to be part of communities, to work with people across the country. So anyway, there's really no excuse for it, because it's everywhere out there. If you want to be part of a community, you can without question make that happen. Absolutely. Okay, so we talked about access to opportunities, knowledge. And then the second one, or the last one, is just building, like the actual building of the relationships that give us value from like a wealth building and investing perspective. But it's also more than that, right? There's also like the element of having meaningful relationships, which helps us be happier and enjoy our experiences. But it also does this. It makes it easier to be involved in communities if we build like meaningful relationships. What mm-hmm. I found is that it's hard to do it if you're just like, if you go, let's say I spend the money to fly across the country and go to a conference like you're mm-hmm. talking about. If I go there and I kind of sit in the corner and I don't participate or do anything, like I'm probably not going to get that much value. I'm still going to get some educational value from it, but I'm not going to get anywhere near the value I would if I use that time to try to like actually foster and build real relationships. Sometimes those one-on-one relationships, and I might even suggest that the community is almost that first layer. It's the first mm-hmm. level. But then once you get part of a community or communities, now you're taking things a step further and you're looking for actual partnerships with individuals that you have relationships with. Yeah. That's when it becomes less surface level and I have the opportunity to take action and kind of grow and take, you know, my wealth to the next level. I'm working with someone who probably has expertise, knowledge, and understanding of things I just don't.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, it puts them outside of their comfort zone to in that kind of social setting. That's certainly true for me. I'm not the, you know, gregarious, you know, out there person, but I see the value in it. And so what a lot of these communities and especially when they have these get-togethers, they do, whether it be through like a special app or something, and like to facilitate these break-off groups so that you can say, okay, based on the type of investing that I'm interested in, or even just geographically saying, hey, you know, we've seen where it's like, you know, this group, in our case, would be people from the Intermountain West, you know, grouping together so that they can, you know, cross-pollinate and all that kind of thing. And so I think more and more the organizers are on board with this and making sure to give people and really give them a way to get out of their comfort zone to have those conversations.
It's almost like the mark of a good conference is being able to help you be in position to foster relationships, right? Yep. Like we go to these conferences oftentimes, it's funny, it's kind of cliche. They say it on the stage like, hey, you know, you're going to get a bunch of education. You're going to have some amazing speakers here, but the relationship. Yep. But here's the thing. It's cheesy. It sounds cliche, but it's just so true.
Yep.
That you have to continue to mention. Okay, so if you're an introvert, right? And no one's going to believe that I'm an introvert necessarily. However, I am in some ways, right? I kind of have to turn it on. I'm not one of those people who's just naturally like on all the time. Like I have to make a conscious effort to put in the energy to like, you know, get up for those situations. Oftentimes wish I was just that guy that's always on. But here's the deal. All you've got to do is, you know, make a goal to hit up three, you know, make three meaningful connections. Yeah. And you could do that in an hour in the conference. And then the rest of the time you're sitting there chilling, right? You're still bringing in the education. So I guess what I'm saying is you don't have to be that it doesn't have to be miserable, right? Yeah. If it's totally outside your comfort zone, use technology. Just get out of it a little bit. And again, what I've found is just being able to go out even a little bit has huge, huge potential for opportunity and wealth growth. Can I just tell you, I feel like I've gotten back 100-fold the effort I've put into my partnerships and relationships. Like I genuinely believe that. Like I consistently have tried to get out there. And yet when I look at what I've gotten back, it's insane.
So, no question.
Okay. So let's talk about some like strategic partnerships. So we've moved through level one. We're now in the community. We've decided, okay, I want to be a part of something that can help me get into the, you know, be in that wealth building mindset, or maybe it's a real estate group that helps me understand and learn how to invest in short-term rentals, but whatever it is, I've now become part of the community. What's next, right? That's the next question. Yep. So what I would say is strategic partnerships is the next step. It's the next layer. And it's really a way of kind of focusing on that last point, building relationships. So getting back to this point, Rod, and we're going to define what makes a good strategic partnership and what doesn't here in just a second. But again, I've hit on this point. But when I look at our own success, strategic partnerships has without question been as big a part of it as anything else. So I can't emphasize this enough. But before we talk more about that, we have to figure out what a strategic partnership is and what it isn't. And here's the good news, Rod. We have a lot of experience in this. So
yeah.
I'll take everyone back. So when I first started in the financial services industry, I knew I didn't want to get clients one at a time. That idea was just painful to me. I was like, I'm not going to make it in this business if I have to get one client at a time. So one of the things that I heard floating around there was, hey, find relationships with CPAs. And mm-hmm. It was specifically CPAs because CPAs are the bomb biggity, Rod. This is what everybody's saying. They are the bomb. Everybody trusts every word that comes out of a CPA's mouth. They're independent, trustworthy. They don't sell, like none of that, which of course, none of this stuff is true. But that's kind of what people think. So I was like, all right, I'm all in. I'm going to cultivate relationships with CPAs. And what I learned there, well, I learned a lot of things. What we learned was a lot. One, we learned that all strategic partnerships are not created equal, right?
Yep.
And there's a big difference between somebody who wants to do something and somebody that actually is willing and does do something. So one of the things, as an example, one of the things we encountered was people we would talk to, let's say a CPA firm, and they would say, hey, you know, I am interested in bringing financial services into my practice. That sounds like a really great idea. And then you just can't ever move the needle, right? There's never a focal point. It's, you know, mm-hmm. they're always busy doing other things. Like that, can I just tell you, is what we call fool's gold. And whenever you get into the partnership world, there's nothing you have to be more concerned about than fool's gold, because there's a lot of people who like the idea but aren't willing to actually deliver and do something. So when I talk about a strategic partnership, I'm not talking about a casual relationship, right? I'm talking about at least a semi-formalized relationship where we have a definitive goal to be mutually beneficial to one another in some way, shape, or form. That's what a strategic partnership is. And if it's not that, then you're probably not going to get the value out of it that you actually want.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I would say so. And the reason that you call it fool's gold is because you end up putting a lot of time into it, thinking you're getting it, the value back, and it just doesn't pay off. And the writing is on the wall usually, right? Like you can usually tell pretty quickly, right? Even though they may be really enthusiastic up front, if there's just never any follow through or everything is coming from your side, and again, they're responsive, but they're not really initiating anything from their side, then you can tell pretty quickly. And so you just don't want to be wasting your time there. Move on and you know, keep pursuing an opportunity that really gets you there.
Yeah, that's a great point. So cut your losses in that situation, but you don't have to cut it. Like there's not a formal cutoff, right?
Yeah.
Because one of the things that happens is that people change, evolve, situations change. A potential partnership that today that doesn't work out could still be one in 3 years that does, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Timing is everything. I always like to say the situation's the boss.
Yep.
Well, timing, situation, all of those things have a massive impact on it. And so keep good relationships, right? We're not saying, hey, you know, every time you try to partner with somebody, it doesn't work out, you give them the bird and walk away. Not that. We don't want to do that. But we don't want to spend too much time on it. And I'm mm-hmm. telling you, I have done this. I've spent too much time. I've also coached Rod many times on spending too much time on partnerships.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been like, Rod, this isn't going to work. This isn't going anywhere. But again, like we want those things to work so much. And like a lot of times we see opportunity, right? And so it's like, but we know it could be so great for this person if they would just catch our vision.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Most often you're not going to be able to get someone to catch your vision. It has to be kind of a joint vision, right? And here's the key. Both sides have to believe that it's going to be mutually beneficial. The second that one side feels like they're doing something as a favor for the other, suddenly it doesn't work, right? Yep. So that's the first thing. Super critical. Or is there anything I missed? I know that I've kind of gone off on tangents here, but is there anything I missed in regards to like, what makes a strategic partnership versus like what's not?
Well, I think as an expansion of what we talked about earlier, sometimes a strategic partner can come from those initially more like informal introduction types of opportunities. Absolutely. But sometimes it comes from you saying, hey, who do I want as my strategic partner slash mentor slash, you know, whatever. I want to have a relationship with, you know, somebody who fits these criteria. So you can actually define who you want to have a what I'm saying is define the characteristics of the strategic partner and then go find who that is and go.
I think that make it happen. Yeah, that's super critical. I'm glad you brought that up, right? Like even right now, Rod, we have some really great part. We have a really great team in Two Market Media that does like our marketing and PR, and mm-hmm. they introduce us to a lot of great people, yeah. right? Even in those situations, we have to determine relatively early on whether those are people who have potential for us to provide. And by the way, this is super critical too. You have to provide value first.
Yep.
Right? Regardless, even if both of you provide value first, you're in a really great place. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But anytime you go into these, you always have to go in with the attitude that you're the one going to start the value creation. But again, once both people are doing it, I got off topic, Rod. What was the question I was answering?
You started with some of our great partnerships, Two Market Media as one.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I was talking about Two Market. Okay. So we get a lot of these, we get a lot of great introductions, but what we noticed early on is that there's many of them that are just, that aren't meant to be strategic partners. Mm-hmm. They could be people that, you know, maybe you do some sort of, well, I'll give you an example. We're going to be holding our virtual summit here in the next couple of months. And some of them could be really great participants, speakers, panelists for mm-hmm. for our conference. And so like there's relationships that can be built there, but they're not necessarily strategic partners because the value that like, let's say that I put the time and effort into it and they put the time and effort, it still wouldn't create what both sides are really looking for.
Yeah.
So to your point, and this is really what I wanted to circle back to your point, being deliberate in the types of people that you're actually trying to connect with is massive. And again, we've been down this road. So learn from our mistakes. Don't go for the people that don't make sense. Don't try to reach either, right? Like again, there's a, especially early on when we're just trying to find success, mm-hmm. it's easy to reach for things and hope that they're there. And then you just grab hold and won't let go of anything. But the reality is that one of the things that I've learned is you have to know, you have to determine those things relatively early and then either stick with it or, you know, make a conscious decision to move on. But I love your point that you really need to be deliberate in who you're actually focused on working with. Okay. Rod, let's talk about let's talk about identifying strategic partners. So mm-hmm. we've talked about what constitutes a strategic partnership. Let's talk about how we actually select people that make sense. So we've talked about how we need to be deliberate. Well, what are the types of things we're looking for? Okay. So number one, we're looking, this seems obvious, Rod, but we're looking for complementary skills and expertise, mm-hmm. right? People and really, it could be, I say complementary, and that might just be a situation where it's like a mentor-mentee situation even, right? They sure. might have all the knowledge and you're willing to put in the grinding, you're willing to grind and put in the work. Well, that can be a complementary skill set. You might both have really high-level knowledge and bringing those two things together can, you know, you can do more because of that combination of the two. So I think that's kind of the first element. Make sure that you're working with people whose skills, whose expertise actually can complement yours and create genuine value for you, for your customers, and ultimately for wealth building.
Yeah. So you start with a self inventory, say, okay, well, here is the skill set. Here are the things, the knowledge that I bring to the table. And where am I lacking? What would be complementary to this? And that helps you start to define those characteristics.
Exactly. Okay. Complementary skills, shared vision. I would also say shared vision and shared objectives. And I would also say shared values, right?
Yeah.
This is critical, right? And I should just say this, right? Like, cause there's nothing that will kill a partnership situation quicker than finding out that you just don't view your values the same way. Mm-hmm. And when I say values, I'm talking about like ethics, you know, the way that you want to be to like, what's the right word? The way you want to do things in the world. If that doesn't line up and you're seeing somebody who has a very different way of dealing with people, then oftentimes that can be a real barrier to like successful relationships. So making sure that you're focusing on that. And then of course, again, shared vision, shared objectives. Obviously, if those things are in alignment, you're going to have a lot better opportunity for success.
Absolutely.
Mutual trust and respect, Rod. That's kind of what we've been talking about there too. But again, okay, I'll give some examples here. So I've been introduced to people over the years, and I won't give specific examples, but there was somebody that we were introduced to not all that long ago, and they were in the life insurance industry, right? And after doing like research and understanding who they are and kind of the way that they work a little bit better, I realized pretty quickly that philosophically, the way that we utilize life insurance as a wealth creation tool and the way that they utilize life insurance are just very, very different, right? And so for us, again, even though that partnership had the potential to be something powerful, like it was someone that had quite a bit of influence, right? But again, for us, we had to make that decision like, okay, is that going to help us expand our vision? And we were really quickly able to say, no, that just isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So my point is just to say like, this is really important. Finding people that you believe are going to, you know, again, have the same values, share the same trust and respect for one another. All of those things become super important. The other thing, Rod, that I didn't hit on is transparency.
Yeah.
Transparency is so critical in partnerships. And I've seen this for years. So back when I started in the industry, this was probably 2000. So I started in the industry 2005. Probably 2008, 2009-ish, I was the director of strategic partnerships for our local agency, right? And basically the goal was to create partnerships, mostly with CPAs and things like that. But one of the things I learned very quickly is that transparency will kill a partnership as quickly as anything. In our world, right, where we're doing like revenue sharing, mm-hmm. We had to make sure that it's totally transparent, it's above board, that it's like that the accounting is done, I guess, transparently, right? I know that's the word I'm using, but like, it's just so critical. If there's things that are hidden that people don't know about, man, you want to blow up trust and respect, that's a really great way to do it.
Yeah, totally agree.
Okay, Rod, let's talk about, finally, because now we've talked about kind of the power of networking. We've talked about how to identify strategic partnerships. So we've gotten into kind of that next level. Now we need to talk about the warm and fuzzy stuff, Rod. You like this stuff. So you're going to have to help me out here. But there is, I get in the habit of talking all business all the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to remind myself that it's not just about business. Like it genuinely is about people.
Yeah.
Like it is genuine. The people that I serve, like my business creates an income. It creates revenue that we can live off of and it supports all the people in the business. But at the end of the day, it does that by helping people accomplish their goal. I love Zig Ziglar's quote. If you just help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want.
Yeah.
I really believe that's the case. And so the goal or the focus has to be on relationships. And again, once that happens, like we talked about ways to blow up relationships. Mm-hmm. There's really great ways to solidify relationships. And that's by focusing on I'll give you a great example. I know I'm kind of on one here, Rod, but
this is great.
This is a good example. So my good friend, Rod Zabriskie, you guys might know him. I moved into my house a couple years ago. Rod, my partner, my long-term business partner and friend, was kind enough to bring me a really cool gesture or a gift, and it's a tree. In fact, the reason I thought of this is because I got a compliment on the tree in front of my house.
Oh, cool.
Well, my mom passed away a couple years ago. Rod bought me a tree in memory of my mom that we put in front of the house. And so someone was delivering something to my house and they were like, oh, what is this tree? I really love it. And it just reminded me like, hey, like the value of partnerships and like the value of relationships, like Rod didn't know that. But in that moment, I'm like, oh man, Rod's cool. I love Rod. So anyway, my point is just to say like, those are the things that solidify it probably more than anything else, right? That's my experience. What's your take?
Well, for sure. It is about relationships. And obviously that's exactly what we're talking about, right? Networking, strategic relationships, all this kind of thing. And yet it really does come down to how you get along, how you trust and support and encourage and lift one another, right? That's the whole point, is to grow together in ways that you couldn't grow if you didn't have those relationships, those partnerships. So putting the business effort into it, right? The purpose, kind of all the things we talked about a minute ago, but also putting the personal touch on it as well.
Yeah. Well, and the good news is there's a lot of ways to connect with people, right? Yep. That's, again, we've hit on this too, but I don't have to fly across the country to meet, you know, my friend Joe who lives in Maine, mm-hmm. and have a relationship with him. We can get on Zoom and have a hangout, right? Like there's just a lot of ways to connect with people like never has been there before. And so again, going back to this idea of being part of communities and creating relationships, like there's just no excuses because it's really easy. Even if you're an introvert, you can be in the online space and still build those relationships.
Yeah. So. Here's one I love. And this was back when it wasn't as big of a thing as it is now, but our good friend Christian here, we had a client and we showed up for a meeting one time and all of a sudden they're talking about this game that they had going on where just in the app.
I'm trying to remember where you're going. Okay.
I can't remember the game it was though. It was some dice game, maybe Yahtzee. It probably wasn't Yahtzee, but.
Oh, okay. Could have been.
So you're playing a dice game.
And oh, yeah.
Somehow in the social interaction on the game, you found out that this client was tied to it. All of a sudden you guys are playing against each other and I have no idea what's going on in the conversation.
Been a while. You're right. Yeah. Well, and that's it. There's just like so many opportunities to connect with people in meaningful ways that, well, anyway, okay. What I want to do before we close up, Rod, is I want to focus the rest of our pod on how partnerships actually enhance wealth building, right? Okay. We've hit on these indirectly, but we're just going to like nail them straight up. Yeah. Here's some of them that come to my mind. The first one is that you're pooling resources and often capital. Well, mm-hmm. a good example is real estate syndications, which went hog wild over the last 15 years. Now, mm-hmm. I realize that there's some challenges with it today, but for 15 years, people were pooling their money together to get into investments that they couldn't get into individually, and therefore creating returns that they wouldn't have been able to create on an individual basis because of the scale, right? Yeah. The volume of money that's going into it and your ability to have like a real organization and structure. Now suddenly you're part of this thing that's really something. And that is a very direct way that I could go and create it. That's a very direct way that a partnership or being part of a community can help me actually build my wealth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've seen examples of that where yes, pooling resources in like an individual investment, but even going beyond that and creating, well, even new communities where basically a new kind of business structure to introduce these things. I'm thinking about left field investors, uh-huh. right? And these are guys that just all four of them just showed up at this conference, met each other, realized they had things in common, all the things we talked about earlier. And then I think initially it was like, oh, hey, maybe we can pool resources to get in on specific deals. But then that continued to grow. And so over the years, I don't know what it's been, 5 or 6 or 7 years since they first met. And it's just grown into something really cool.
Yeah, that's a great example. That's a really great example. I like the story of left field investors because, again, it's and what they do is interesting and a little bit unique. It's interesting because the whole focus is on all of them together finding investment opportunities. So if you want, if you want to be part of a place that will help find investment opportunities, well, that's what Left Field Investors has literally been created for, right? So a really interesting and an easy way to get involved with things. I think that was a great example of one. Okay, pooling resources, sharing risk and responsibility. Obviously, this is kind of a no-brainer as well, but one of the benefits is that I can share some of the risk. If I'm getting into an investment, well, I'll give another example in my own world. This investment blew up, but I did share some of the risk on it because I had a partner. So I've told people this like early on. I mean, I was 24 or something like that when I tried to do the project in Southern Utah.
Yep.
When we dug for water, we couldn't find it. And so the whole project blew up. But Ty and I both put some money into the project. And therefore we basically mitigated some of the risk just by having both of us involved. I would have lost twice as much money otherwise in that situation.
Yeah.
So that's like, you know, an example of just mitigating some of it. But the reality is that the more people that we have involved, the wider the risk is spread. And so if I'm getting into something that I deem as potentially more risky, well, that could be a good reason to do it with more people as an example.
Yeah. And essentially what that's doing is it's facilitating you diversifying across multiple different opportunities, right? So instead of taking the single, whatever, 100 grand and putting that all in one deal, you split it up and put it into four or more. I participated in a TribeVest group. The minimum investment level from the provider was 100,000, but inside of the TribeVest tribe, it was 10,000. So great. We had, I think, 13 different people that participated. And especially this was just like about a year ago this time when everything was just, you know, going crazy. There weren't a lot of deals to get into. You weren't wanting to put in, like, again, all of your eggs in one basket. But this was one that came along. I felt good about it. And it helped the fact that I was able to do it through this kind of TribeVest organization.
Yeah, that is another good point, right? We oftentimes talk about the importance of being an accredited investor. The alternative space has historically been a place for high net worth people, right? Because again, you just gave an example, but the minimums for these types of investments have come down. I mean, I remember my wife nannied for a wealthy family in Salt Lake when we first got married. My first wife, I should be clear. So she's working there, and I remember I'm up there talking to them. He ran a hedge fund, right? Okay. And I'm talking to the guy about his hedge fund, and I asked him what the minimum investment was. Any idea, Rod? Do you want to guess the minimum investment for his hedge fund?
So I know this was at least 20 years ago.
Yes, right?
So
20 years ago.
Probably, well, I mean, I'm probably still guessing low, but I'm just going to say 500 grand.
5 million.
Okay.
5 million. Yep. 5 million was the number. I was like, oh, I expected it to be like up, but I didn't expect it to be. Now, he's probably taking primarily like institutional money and like wealthy family money, right? Those are kind of the places. But again, the point that you made is that we're getting access to things that we wouldn't have access to otherwise by being able to pool that money together. Okay. Rod, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Tell me this. Sorry, one sec. Okay. Tell me this, Rod. How can accessing specialized knowledge help us build wealth?
I mean, we talked about the word complementary earlier, and no one person can be expert in all things, right? So I bring my skill set and I want to look for, again, complementary people who bring their skill set. And by doing that, then I have access to specialized knowledge and skills that I don't have or that I don't have currently in my world. I identified those as the characteristics I was looking for in a strategic partner. I went and found somebody who has those things. And now we can do things jointly that we neither of us were able to do individually because we bring those two together.
Yeah, that's a good example. I have a thought, or just kind of another example. I think about, we talk about tax a lot, mm-hmm. right? This is just a really direct way that partnerships can enhance wealth building. Now, this is like a partnership with your CPA in this example, but if you think about, let's just say I'm $1 million earner and I end up paying $340,000 in taxes, mm-hmm. and through my relationship with my CPA, I can figure out how to go from 340 to 240. Like, that's been a very tangible way that I've suddenly paid less tax and therefore been able to take that $100,000 and save it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right. So like, specialized knowledge can be incredibly valuable. And again, one of the best ways to get access to it is through communities first. And mm-hmm. then of course you can take that to the next level and make it into actual partners. But I think that's like, I mean, obviously if I'm working with, or I create a relationship or a partnership with a great investor, as an example, mm-hmm. then, and maybe like, maybe their skill set is finding great opportunities, but maybe they struggle to find the money.
Yeah.
Right? Now you connect the person that's really good at finding the investments with people who are really good at raising money. And all of a sudden you have something special, right?
Absolutely.
Both have their kind of specialized knowledge and skill set, bring that together and everything blows up in a good way.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say blows up. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Everything comes together. Everything comes together. Okay. So let's do a quick rundown, Rod. So here's what we've talked about. We've talked about first kind of just focusing on networking, getting out there, getting into communities, letting that be the starting point to building meaningful relationships, meaningful partnerships that can help us grow our wealth. Again, there's so many ways to do it in the world we live in today. Like, I think it's kind of exhausting thinking about all of the ways that I could try to be involved. In fact, yeah. Brad, I'm one of those people that's like, okay, I want to get out and I want to get involved with things. And then I start like thinking about where to start. And I'm like, holy smokes, there's just so much, so many places I could go to do this. Right.
Yeah.
So maybe my advice is just do it. Like, starting somewhere, yep. Find a group, reach out to us. If you're like, hey, I love the idea, I want to get more involved, Christian, Rod, help me figure out how to do that. We are more than happy to introduce you to our friends and help you get involved in the communities that will help you build wealth. I think my primary message is really that, like, partnerships are critically important. It's been a big part of the basis for our success. And yeah. Of course, we want to do everything we can to help you all be successful. We want to help you create another level of wealth. And so again, if you need our help, reach out to us. We're happy to create those introductions. Rod, do you have any parting thoughts, parting wisdom before we call it?
I think we've hit on some of these things as we've gone, but just some things to be careful of and aware of is we were saying these are the characteristics you need, right? So the mutual trust, transparency, yep. the those things. And my warning is that don't ignore those things, because even though, you know, you may say, well, we can work past this, we're adults, you know, whatever, it just comes to a head. At some point, it just comes to a place where worst case scenario, not only does the whatever the investment blow up, but all of a sudden, you know, you might be suing each other and having all these different things, right? So it doesn't have to come to that, but we see it where it does come to that, right?
It absolutely can, right? Like, we all know that, right? This is kind of a sad stat, but half of the marriages in America don't last. So yeah. It's easy to see how even close, good relationships can blow up if we don't do them right. So that gets back to your point, avoiding those kind of pitfalls. Well, what are some of the pitfalls? It's misaligned expectations and goals. It's communication breakdowns, power dynamics being messed up. If suddenly both people are trying to rule the roost, you could have a little bit of a problem, right? Yep. So the key is to make sure you're thinking about those things on the front end. And by doing that, you can avoid all of the pitfalls altogether. That's been our, so take, learn from our mistakes and avoid the pitfalls and you'll be in a great place. Rod, this has been fun. Thanks everybody for listening and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Money Insights Podcast. To learn more about the financial and business strategies discussed in this show, please visit moneyinsights.net. The views and opinions expressed on the Money Insights Podcast are not intended to be individual financial, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with the appropriate advisor before making financial decisions. And if you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This will help others find the show and learn wealth-building strategies for themselves. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.